This is What Remains, a Song of the Lioness Tortle Universe fanfic, written by Straightforwardly and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Alana of Pirate Swoop, George Cooper, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Role Swap. Summary. War is brewing. Alana does what she can. Role Swap AU, where Alana is the rogue and George is the knight in training. Alana frowned deeply as she stared down at the scrap of parchment that served as a map. From his position beside her, Tom made a soft humming sound. "Well, well," he said, his eyes scanning over the map. "It seems that this odd fancy of yours wasn't so strange after all, sister." She brushed her fingers against the tiny red and blue marks scattered over the surface of the map. 20 legions, she said softly, and that's not including the knights. Her rogues had thought nothing of the rumors of tension between Tassane and Tortle. The informant she'd sent to gather information had thought similarly about her concerns. But this meant war. True war. Such preparations couldn't be toppled with a single skirmish. The Tassanes had clearly been planning this for some time. And Tortle was unprepared. Alana let out her breath in a low hiss. "We can't keep this to ourselves," she said, straightening up from the table. "We need to tell someone." Tom glanced up at her with an indulgent smile.
"Do we?"
"Of course," she snapped. Tom shrugged, unperturbed by her outburst. "I fail to see how it's our concern." Alana resisted the urge to kick something. "Of course it is. This isn't just some noble mess. This could affect all of Tortle." Tom laughed softly.
"Very well, dear sister. Your wish is my command."
He paused, then suggested, "Miles, then? He's decent enough, and he'll have some sway in the palace." His capitulation came too easily. Alana knew better than to think that she had truly convinced him. Her anger wavered, then faded away with a sigh. Tom was Tom. She didn't know why she still allowed him to rile her up. She turned her attention to his suggestion. "No, that won't work," she said, shaking her head. "He hasn't been by for a while now, and I don't know if I want to risk asking him to come, what with the provost's recent crackdown. It won't go well for him if he's seen here." Tom made a face. Unlike Alana, he had little respect for the Lord Provost, and he felt little need to hide it, particularly now that the latest in the series of the Provost's recent, stringent crackdowns had come at such an inconvenient time. Alana chewed on her lip, thinking. "What about young George?" he asked after a moment, sounding vaguely amused. Alana frowned at him. "It's the same with him as it is with Miles. He shouldn't be seen here now." If anything, Tom only became more amused at this. "Oh, I don't think it'll be a matter of asking him." "What do you mean by that?" Tom nodded in the direction of the door. "I mean that he's out there right now."
"Does he want to get kicked out of night training that badly?"
Tom chuckled.
"Apparently so," he said.
After rolling up the map and hiding it away in her clothing, she stepped out into the dim, smoky common room, with Tom as a shadow at her heel. Was it her, or was it somewhat less noisy than usual? Alana frowned, briefly distracted. She couldn't allow the provost's latest crackdown to have too much of an effect on morale. Then she saw George, and those thoughts fled. He was sitting in a circle of forgers and thieves as though he was born to be there. Marek, scholar, light fingers, red nail. One of the boys said something that set the others laughing. George joined in, his eyes merry.
On occasion, Alana had cause to sneak up to the castle. She never saw him so content there, surrounded by his peers, as he was here in the Dancing Dove. Marek saw her first, and gave her a sloppy, two-fingered salute. His version of a joke. George looked up at the movement. His eyes lit up when he saw her. Immediately, he jumped to his feet, and swept into a low, overly elaborate bow. Alana rolled her eyes at them both, though she couldn't quite contain her smile. "And what do you think you're doing here?" she asked George, crossing her arms across her chest. George grinned back at her, straightening up again. "You can't expect me to stay cooped up with all those stuffy nobles all the time, can you?" "You're a noble yourself," she pointed out, but he waved that off. "Not here, I'm not." His voice was laughing, but when he looked up, his eyes were warm. Alana's mouth went dry. Lately, he'd been looking at her like that more and more. Nothing good could come of it. If she were smart, she'd put an end to it now, nip it in the bud before it became something messy and complicated. She'd done it before. This should be no different. From behind her, Tom cleared his throat. It was only a slight sound, but it was enough to remind her of their earlier conversation. "George," she said, half relieved at the escape, and unwilling to examine why. "Could I speak with you for a moment? There is something I would ask of you." George turned serious in an instant. "Of course," he said, and let her draw him after her. As she neared the door, she heard the familiar sounds of a small scuffle breaking out. Alana glanced back at Tom. No words passed between them, but he broke away and headed towards the disturbance. George turned and watched this with a small smile. "It's hard not to pity them," he observed. Alana had to agree. Her rogues loved and respected her, but there were few who did not fear Tom, and for good cause. Once she and George were securely ensconced in her chamber, Alana began to speak. "I have information about Tassane," she said bluntly, "and I need someone to get it to the palace for me." As she spoke, she took the map out from where she'd hidden it in her clothing and handed it over to him. When he looked it over, she quickly sketched out the situation. When she finished, George let out a short huff of laughter. "Damn, you couldn't let me be the bearer of good news?" Then, more seriously, he said, "You know I'll do it for you, but I'm not sure how I'll explain how I know this, or if anyone will listen." Alana had the answer for that one prepared. "Do you know Miles, of Olau?" George nodded. "He taught us history and law." Suddenly, he flashed her a quick grin. "I also hear that someone who looks very similar to him enjoys drinking and pontificating with Scholar and the boys." Alana smiled. "That's the one." George's good humor faded into something more thoughtful. "So he is..." "I trust him," Alana said simply. She didn't see the need to explain further. George nodded and began folding up the map again. "Then that's enough for me. I'll get your message to him." As he tucked the map safely away in his clothing, he asked, "Is there anything else you need from me?" She shook her head. "Just get that information to the castle, and soon." For all that the court often seemed unbelievably inefficient, Alana had to give them this. When there was a real threat, they moved quickly. The next several days were filled with a flurry of movement over at the castle, and the excitement was not unmarked in the town proper. All of Chorus was in a buzz as they prepared themselves for the reality of a war. Then, The day before the initial forces were scheduled to depart, Duke Gareth fell from his horse and broke his leg in 3 places. Alana's informants let her know about the accident almost immediately. She was musing upon this, with no small amount of uneasiness, when George slipped through the entrance of the Dancing Dove again. Alana started, then stood.
"What are you doing here?" she demanded, as she crossed the room to reach him. "I thought they'd have you running from sunrise to sundown. Won't they be missing you?"
"Things are a right mess up at the castle. I took advantage of the confusion to slip out."
George grinned at her, though his eyes were oddly serious.
"You didn't really think I'd leave without saying goodbye."
She cleared her throat.
"I suppose it saves me a trip to the castle," she said, suddenly feeling wrong-footed.
She led him to her quarters. When the door was shut, George looked around.
"Your brother's not here," he said, with some surprise.
"He's not," Alana agreed. Tom had slipped out some hours before to look into rumors about someone trying to hawk some not-quite-legal magic books. Knowing Tom, it would be quite some time before he returned. And even if he did, there was a good chance that she wouldn't see much of him for the next few days. There were few things that could draw Tom from her side, but magic was the most powerful of those.
George chuckled. "And here I thought he was your shadow."
He did not ask where Tom had gone, which Alana was grateful for. Tom's secrets were not for her to share. Alana leaned on the table in the center of the room and changed the subject.
"I hear you're to be leaving with the initial force." "Keeping tabs on me now."
He sounded more pleased than she thought he'd be at that.
"Of course," she said, confused. "I always look out for my own."
George looked startled, then let out a quiet laugh.
"And here I only wanted to come say goodbye," he said, half to himself.
Alana frowned.
"What do you mean?"
George smiled down at her.
"Battles are a dangerous thing, you know. I couldn't leave without a word."
Something quickened in Alana's chest.
"It's not like you to be so maudlin, George. Besides, that wasn't what I was asking, and you know it."
His smile turned wry. Before she could say anything more, he reached out and took one of her hands in his. His skin felt warm against her own.
"I didn't think you'd want to hear what I have to say," he said softly.
Alana stilled. She stared, first at their clasped hands, and then into George's eyes, searching for even the faintest trace of humor.
She didn't find it.
Her voice returned to her. "Don't be ridiculous," she snapped. She didn't pull her hand away from his, though it occurred to her that she probably should. "This is just some passing fancy." George's laugh sounded choked.
"I assure you, it isn't."
"And it'd never work," Alana continued, ignoring his protest. "You're a noble. You can't tell me your peers would delight in your courting a thief. And that's not even touching on your age."
"You're more noble than I'll ever be."
"This is no time for wordplay," she started. But he ignored her as if she had not spoken.
"And I'm not so young as all that," he continued over her stubbornly. "You can't tell me that there aren't younger marriages in the city, or that you've never heard of matches with greater differences in age."
"So I'm the decrepit old man to your comely maiden?" Alana asked, trying to keep her voice dry. Her heart was racing. She didn't know how George didn't feel her hand trembling. George looked at her with a gaze so fond that she found herself at a loss for words.
"Never decrepit," he said,
then smiled, teasing.
"Though it's nice to know you find me comely."
"George!" She couldn't think of anything else to say.
"Look, I'm not trying to push you."
He ran his thumb across the back of her hand.
Her skin burned where he touched it. Just think about it when I'm gone, all right? Alana opened her mouth, wanting to say, I'll do no such thing. But the words wouldn't form. He stepped closer to her, so close that they shared the same breath. When she didn't move, he bent down and kissed her, gentle and brief. When he stepped back, he finally let go of her hand. It swung down to hang uselessly at her side. She resisted the urge to touch her fingers to her lips. She wouldn't give him the satisfaction. When he spoke, his voice was rough. She didn't dare look at his eyes. I'll see myself out before you think better of it and stab me. That might be a good idea. Her voice shook, despite her best efforts to keep a level tone. George nodded, then turned away from her. He just reached the door when she spoke again. George? He turned to look at her. If you die, I'll definitely stab you. He grinned, and just like that, he was the George that she'd always known. Wouldn't dream of it, he promised, before vanishing through the door. Her hand still burned where his skin had touched hers, and she thought of how it had felt when he kissed her. Then she shook her head. She was being just as silly as he was. It was nothing truly serious. And even if it was, nothing could come of it. He'd do well to learn to set his gaze at his own level. Determinedly, she pushed the thoughts out of her mind. It was only then that Alana realized that she'd completely forgotten to ask George about the Duke's accident. Briefly, an uneasy feeling swept through her, coiling in her stomach. She shook her head again, annoyed at herself. It was likely nothing more than what it seemed, an accident. And even if it wasn't, it likely was nothing more than a petty power play by some noble. The timing was a little suspect, but in the end, it was a noble's problem and would have a noble's solution. Certainly, it was nothing for the King of Rogues to concern herself with. Nor was the war, not anymore. That was in the hands of King Rold now. She'd played her part. For now, she needed to push these thoughts aside and see how her rogues were holding up. It wouldn't do to let them get too restless, or let them think that she no longer cared for their concerns. She'd become the rogue for a reason, after all. She still recalled the chaos that came about when the rogue was ill-suited to the task. It was why she had been so determined to take that role for herself in the first place. What use would all of her effort be if she didn't take the time to settle their quarrels, to keep them away from the gallows? She'd spent far too much time on other concerns this past week. It was time to pay her people their dues. With a new burst of energy, she pushed herself up from where she was leaning against the table and headed towards the door. Everything else, George, the war, could wait. She had a duty to uphold. The end. Reader's notes. So, I went to a Tamara Pierce book signing today, and I think my face still hurts from actually smiling so hard. I got to meet her, I got to take a picture, I got a book signed, and it's a book about George Cooper. The Tortle Spy Guide is compiled by George Cooper. So, like, this was just, and Alana and George are my favorite. I mean, Dane and Numair is always a good time, but Alana and George are my, the best. And I love this AU. I love the idea of Alana as the rogue because loyalty is such a big thing for her. So seeing her focusing that loyalty in a different direction is awesome. Plus, like, as Alana as the rogue, like, you know, you can absolutely see her learning, like, this is the best way to stab someone between their two ribs kind of deal.
And then Alana becoming the spy master. And, like, imagine the effort to go get Queen Thayet or Princess Thayet at the time if it was all conducted by Alana's spies instead of by a knight. How, like, stealth and also ladies kicking ass would that be? And then George with knighthood and... His loyalty is so important, too. And how, like, George and Jonathan would be best bros. They would be terrifying, but they would be great together and having a good time and being kick-ass and awesome. And just, oh, wait, King Roald is still alive because Roger hasn't done the thing? I mean, or Roger's about to do the thing and King Roald's about to die any minute now? I don't know. This is great. I love this AU. Straightforwardly, you did such a good. You've got me thinking ideas that are so great. But anyway, riding high from meeting Tamara Pierce, I was really the same air she was. I was going to die. It was great, which is why I recorded this podfic tonight. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it and have a nice day.